Well, good morning. And it is kind of weird. Pulpit's actually back a little bit. I got to move forward, otherwise, no, it's not exactly the right spot. Yeah, creature of habits, aren't we? Sometimes we habitually look at things, and we need to change the way we look at them. That's kind of what we're going to be looking at today, is perception. How we perceive things lead to how we deal with them and how we act. And anybody here ever been mad because they perceived somebody's action one way and then they found out later that the action was meant in an entirely different way and they had to ask for forgiveness for their anger? Yeah, Ed's going like this, Peggy's going like that. Yeah. Actually, Peggy's not pointing. She's just keeping her hands folded in her lap. But Ed's going, I'm not sure if he's saying that he got mad at her or she got mad at him. Yeah. I can guarantee you that Don and I have had those. And I'm pretty sure my kids have been mad at me, whether they've ever forgiven me. Kevin's in denial. Well, it's not just a river in Egypt. Yeah, aren't I just the witty one? Yes. Okay. With that, let's look at our scripture passage in Hebrews, as we have digressed more than necessary. And that Hebrews chapter 12, first 13 verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, you have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Let's pray. Father, we do come before you and we give you praise. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and our minds, to give us understanding of this word, that we might apply it to our lives today, that we might best live out the encouragement that you've put here for us, the instructions you've given us, the commands. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I speak this morning, I might speak with your power and your truth, that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified, and that your people would be encouraged. Father, let now your word be lifted up, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of funny. Ha ha. Kind of funny. I was visiting my mother and stepfather last night, and we were having discussion about discipline. My mother had a wooden spoon. She rarely had to use the wooden spoon on us. Usually just smacking the countertop and saying something was enough. My children are still in great fear of their grandmother. They love her tremendously, don't get me wrong. But they are more afraid of her being disappointed in them and her rebuking them than just about anything else I can put before them. I'm going to tell your grandmother is just about the biggest threat I can throw their way. It's amazing. For all three of them. And we were having discussion about the various methodologies that have been passed down through the ages of discipline. I mean, the razor strap of generations gone past, which my mother had intimate acquaintance with. The wooden spoon and belt that I had intimate acquaintance with. My children each had occasion to find my belt. It was discipline. And they still hate me for it. No, they don't. Matter of fact, a couple years ago, I got the letter from Jason. He wrote Don and I a letter at Christmas. He was in Germany. And he thanked us for disciplining him as a child. He said, I'm around all these people who never were disciplined. And it was driving him nuts. And he thanked us because it equipped him better. Chris has said much the same thing, talking about some of the people as he was going through basic training. He said, if you didn't have discipline going in, you're not going to have it going out. That's Chris's words. Where did discipline come from? From growing up. Parents. From God. What is the point of discipline? That's one of the primary things here. What is the point of discipline? Discipline is to correct an action. To tell you what you're doing is wrong and to take you down a different path. Discipline is to help you do things right. Now, it's not always for my personal aggrandizement or benefit that I was disciplined. I mean, I wasn't disciplined always so that things were better just for me, but please and thank you. It makes everybody's life more pleasant when a child says please. And thank you. And as an adult, I continue, hopefully I try to say please and thank you. But as a young child, I was still, you know, if I didn't say please or thank you, there was a, oh, I'm sorry, please. Thank you. These little social amenities that make things go smoother for everybody. It's So it wasn't just about me, but it was about, you know, the world I was living in, helping me to be a better behaved so that everybody's life could be better. Played on several sports teams and different things. Sometimes the discipline there had to do to make sure that I was playing my part. Okay? I played several different positions, in different sports, but I learned that my position, I was supposed to be in a certain place at a certain time doing a certain thing. My dad coached hockey. I knew that as a defenseman, my job was not supposed to be by the net of the opposing team. I was supposed to be between the offense of the other team and my team's goal. And if I was left, I was supposed to be the left side. If I was right, I was supposed to be the right side. I wasn't supposed to be traveling wherever. We were supposed to play position. Same thing in soccer. Soccer and hockey actually had pretty similar positional defense mindsets. Just one is on grass and one's on ice. Football, linebacker. I was supposed to be here and I was supposed to go there. And if I wasn't doing, if I wasn't in my spot, I left it undefended and some bad things could happen to the team. Like the other team would run through. Sometimes I was there and nothing was happening. And I didn't know why. So I went to where the action was and I got disciplined. What are you doing over there? Why was I disciplined? Because the coach hated me? Remember, part of the time my father was my coach. No, he didn't hate me. He loved me. Other coaches, I'm not sure what their feelings were towards me, but they were doing what was best for the team, what was best for me even as a player, was that I would be in the right position and do the right thing. Even if that was difficult for me. Okay, again, remember that I used to be small. I'm not a tall person, but I'm wider than I used to be. Okay? I was playing linebacker, you know, freshman year high school, at 120 pounds. That's not a big linebacker. Now, I played with abandon. So I hit hard, and I was, but nonetheless, at 120 pounds, when I had a 200-pound lineman coming at me, you know, I was generally going to lose. Just the way it works. And playing for Burnsville, we played against a team where I had 200-pound linemen and running backs at times that would come through me. But, you know, take your position. On the back. Good job. I slowed him down. They didn't get quite as far as they would have if I hadn't been there. Okay, let's take this. Bring it back to our scripture. We have the writer of Hebrews here talking about how we're going to be disciplined. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding of your blood. That's some serious discipline there. And he said, it may just well happen. And he says, when this stuff happens, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. What happened to his son? He went to the cross. What was Jesus's? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, endured the cross. For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross. Why did Jesus go to the cross? The reason. To be obedient to his Father. Because obviously, the joy of going to the cross was not the scourging, the beating, the hairs being plucked from his beard, being shorn, being spit upon, being abused, you know, all the terrible things that occurred to him. That was not joy. Yet it was. Remember, we have to remember that joy is. We often think of happiness and joy as synonyms, but they're really not. Happiness means that I like and I prefer the situation that I am in. That this is the situation where I want, that I want. Situationally, I like it. Okay? Joy is a sense of satisfaction and delight that is not affected by circumstances. Satisfaction and delight. Jesus was satisfied and delighted in obeying the Father. This task was put before him by our Father in heaven, and he did it and took joy in the doing of it, even though it was one of the most painful and cruel deaths that mankind has ever devised, which he suffered. He did it for the joy of obeying the Father. He did it for the joy of seeing all of mankind freed from bondage to sin. He himself derived zero benefit. Yet he was the one who took the discipline. It was our discipline. But he took it. It was the penalty for our sins. But he paid the price. It's all about our perception of what's going on. It's going to affect how we act. Jesus' perception of what the Lord asked him to do wasn't that God was just being mean to him and telling him, I want you to go suffer. I want you to suffer the most undignified death that this society has. That wasn't. Didn't think God was out to get him. He saw it as, God has told me to do something, and I am going to submit and with joy be obedient. And even though things got tough, he followed the course that God had told him to do. Now each of us has a different course to run because we each have different parts to play. We're each different players on the team, different parts of the body, however you want to phrase it, and how, different ways that it's listed in Scripture and examples. Not everybody does the same thing. I have 3 sons in the Army. How many of them have the same job? Well, technically, they all have the exact same job, to defend the Constitution of the United States. But their military occupational specialty is each one different. They don't do the same thing every day. They don't dress alike. They don't do the same type of work. They have different tools. They do it in different locations. And that's just 3, and there's hundreds of different jobs that are in the military. And that's just the military. But we're talking about the world, the body of Christ. And each and every one of us has our own job. So we have the course that God has laid out for us, and we need to run that course. So my job is to run the course that God laid out for me. My job is not to run the course that God laid out for Ed. Ed has his course, I have my course. Sometimes they are along the same path for a time. And we can run together. But for the most part, we still are going to have different beginnings and ends and different places we need to go. You know, currently, many of us here, our courses are rather connected, but still, it's more like an obstacle course or one of these courses where you have to, an orienteering course where you have to go and you have to check in here and check in there. And a real complicated one, have different check-in points for different people. Or everybody checks in at different points in different orders. But everybody goes through the course. We each have to run the course that's set for us. Even though it's going to be difficult. There are people out there who preach and teach that if you're encountering difficulty, you are outside of the will of God. I'm going to say flat out that they're wrong. Unequivocally, anybody who says that if you encounter difficulties, you are outside of the will of God is 100% wrong. Now, does that mean that God doesn't sometimes bring difficulties in order to change our direction? Absolutely. But sometimes He allows difficulties to come against us. And it's not that we need to change our direction, but that we need to be disciplined in going through the problem. We need to run that course. We need to set aside those things which cause us to stumble. We need to bring up the high place, or bring up the low places and make low the high. We have make level paths for your feet. In this passage, God has told us that we're going to be disciplined. And that we are not to be discouraged by the discipline, but instead we're to be encouraged by it. And we're to take the lesson that comes through it. Sometimes discipline is to make us stronger. Again, sports for me, you know, one more rep. Okay, I was in gymnastics. And we would do handstand push-ups. Okay, I couldn't even do one right now. But we would get between parallel bars. Somebody would just kind of balance our feet. And we'd go. And after 10 of these, we would get very tired. And then it would become just one more rep. And somebody would just get a little lift on your foot. Just so you could get that one in. You did 99% of the work, but they get you up. One more. Why? Was all to build strength for when we were doing things later so that we could get through it. Because when you were in the middle of a routine and competition, if you were tired, that's when you made mistakes. That's when you were unable to move forward. Here, God's telling us that He's going to bring discipline to correct us. He's also going to bring discipline to strengthen us so that when we come to these issues or these problems, we can go through them. Now, how do we know when it's discipline that's to correct us and when it's discipline to strengthen us? Anybody got an answer for that one? Sometimes that's hard. And that's where we need to seek prayer. Here's what I'll tell you. If
If God has given you joy, God has given you joy. That's why Jesus was able to. He went through for the joy set before Him and endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The Lord gave Him joy in the midst of the deepest pain and sorrow imaginable. His joy was His satisfaction in being obedient to God. It's delight in doing the Lord's will. That's joy. If the Lord gives us joy, remember, what is joy? It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Something that the Holy Spirit gives us. Grows up within us. If we have joy in the action itself, then it's the Lord trying to strengthen us. But if the Lord takes away our joy, we need to question, maybe He's directing us to change direction. It's not hard and fast, it's real hard. We need to pray about that. No. But the Lord has given us direction. We need to stay with His direction. Generally, He also brings discipline when we vary from His direction. When I was called into the ministry, I received a very clear call. I knew I was supposed to become a pastor. I talked to my pastor about it, and he said, "Yep, you're supposed to become a pastor." He took me down to talk to the district superintendent, and he said, "Yep, you're supposed to become a pastor." I'm like, "I don't want to." Well, that's why I walk with a limp today. I honestly, truly believe this. That the motorcycle accident I had was the Lord bringing discipline to me for being disobedient to Him. It is so much the parable of the shepherd who breaks the leg of the disobedient lamb who's always running away till the lamb gets used to hanging around the shepherd again. And then he doesn't wander off no more. Well, the Lord broke my leg with Massey Ferguson tractor. And I was unable to work for a year. So I went back to college for a year, which is what I was arguing with God about doing. I said, "I don't want to do that. I'll have to quit my job." Oops, can't work. I guess I have no problems. I can now go to college. I don't have any money. Let me fix that too. You know, it was just all the excuses He took away. But He brought the discipline. Correction. And He gave me joy even in the midst of the discipline. So He changed direction and became obedient to His will. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. We're to do this so that those who need the gospel message, the healing word of Christ, will get it. Now, we may or may not be the vehicle that actually participates in that harvesting.
That's the most flamboyant and most out front one, is the one who has the altar call or leads somebody in a prayer. But sometimes it's planting the seed, that first seed of the gospel message. Sometimes it's watering it with more of the gospel message. But you ever see a harvest that didn't have water? You ever see a harvest that didn't have a seed? It doesn't come. The guy who harvested said, "Look at what I did. I harvested this crop." Well, he didn't do it by himself. Everybody who planted seed and watered and cultivated and all that participated. But we're to be strengthening our feeble arms and our weak knees and making level paths for our feet so that the lame may not be disabled but rather healed. And so that those who haven't received the gospel can receive it. Our attitude is that, "Lord, whatever it is I'm going to do for you and your glory." If our attitude is that when the Lord brings discipline to us, not to be mad at Him that He's brought discipline, but to be thankful to Him for that. Donna and I literally cried when we got the letter from Jason. Just, it was an awesome deal. That vindication that, yeah, we did it right. Did we do it perfect? No, we're not God. But we did it right. You know, we already knew we'd done it right because we'd seen the lives of our three boys. But when he said, "Thank you," we knew that he was even farther along than we had thought. And when we come to God and we say, "Thank you, Lord, for your discipline. I thank God for my limp. I do. I have not asked God to take away my limp. I have not asked God to remove that. It reminds me of my call and the discipline that I had. And the fact that I'm thankful for it changes the way I do things and how I do things. Because I have that reminder of His discipline and His love. Because I knew that God didn't do it because He hated me. He didn't do it to be mean to me. He did it so that I would be obedient. Now, that obedient is good for me, but it's also good for you. It's good for those who I ministered to at the bridge, and for those who I minister to in other various capacities. That wouldn't happen had I not been obedient after I'd received the discipline. Had I not been grateful for that discipline, it would have changed. So, this morning, what I'm telling you is, when the Lord brings discipline against you, consider what it was that Jesus went through. And say, "Did God hate Jesus?" No, He didn't. He loved us. He loved Jesus too, but He loved us. So He was willing for Jesus to go through that for our benefit. And Jesus did it with joy, for the joy set before Him, the satisfaction and delight that comes from obeying the Father and doing His will. May each of us here have joy.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, you said here, none of us enjoys being disciplined. But Father, help us to appreciate it and to be thankful for it. Might our attitude be one of not the sullen child who is angry at the parent because of discipline, but instead might we be the thankful child who comes back and says, thank you for showing me how to be better. Lord, might we learn our lessons quickly and thereby be used by you so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close, and we will be singing